Chapter 8. A message God's laid on my heart. I thank God for you folks and your faithfulness to church, but more than that, more importantly, you're faithful to God. Amen. And so, moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Chapter 8, the book of Romans. We'll start out with verse 1, and then I'll jump over to my text. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit," that's verse 2. Let's hop over to 28. Here's my text. Let's read it out loud together. Verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Heavenly Father, please help us as we look into Your Word. And I thank You so much for this family, this called out assembly. And we do pray, Lord, for Your touch on our hearts today, tonight. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Amen. Thank You, church. What's Romans all about? It's about justification by faith. If you go over to chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I love that word, justified. There's an old-time song called Justified. I've got it, I think. Maybe we can have one of y'all sing it. But justification is more than... You know, what's that old saying, just as if we've never sinned? It is that, but it's so much more, isn't it? If you look the word justification up, you'll find other words that are similar, like propitiation. You know, how Jesus took our place, took our sin. Here's another one, atonement, at-one-ment. In other words, we can't be right with the Heavenly Father unless it's through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. But those substitutionary death, you've heard of that? It kind of goes along with atonement. But that's what Romans is about. Not by works are we saved, but we're saved. But we are saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of your own selves. It's a gift of God. Lest anybody should boast. So, salvation is needed by everyone, by all. And I'm thankful that Jesus did what He did for everybody, every single soul that lives. And it's needed by all. And thank God, salvation is free and provided for all. Chapter 8, Martin Luther said this about it. He called it the Spirit-saturated chapter. You see a lot about the Spirit in here. And we cannot live the victorious Christian life without the power and help of the Holy Spirit. We need Him, amen, to function, to live. He's our comforter, He's our teacher, and so much more. And so he called it a Spirit-saturated chapter. He said this about it, Martin Luther, the masterpiece of all the New Testament. Paul starts here in chapter 8 with no condemnation because you're in Jesus. Jesus is in you. You're in Jesus. There's no condemnation. You're saved unto the uttermost. Your sins are cast into the depths of the sea, from the far as the east is from the west. That's good news, folks. You can't lose your salvation. Amen. But he ends in chapter 8, verse 39. Look at that. "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." So he starts with no condemnation, and he ends with no separation. We have, like the song says, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste. Come on in. God bless you. Of glory divine. Now let's look at this verse 1 here, chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So I'd ask you today, are you in Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And have your sins been washed away? Have you trusted in Him through salvation? Your sins, all of your sins, past, present, and future, were nailed to the cross. Amen. He took your place. He's your substitute. He's your Savior. If you'll just trust in Him. I like that old song that they sang. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. So your sin debt and my sin debt, listen to this, was paid in full. When He said, it is finished, telestai in that Greek word, it's paid in full. I like that. I don't like to have debt. Amen? Stay out of debt, friends, and you'll be good. Work hard, stay out of debt, and save some money. Make sure you tithe first, though. But debt's not good. But if you're a born-again Christian, God's Spirit dwells in you, and you have, and I have, absolute assurance, blessed assurance, that you can lay your head on your pillow tonight and say, I'm saved, and I'm ready to go if God takes me. Now, really, if you had a theme or a title, Benny, it would be Finding Victory in Jesus. Finding victory. Well, finding victory is realizing that you are saved forever. Realize that you're forgiven and your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's victory right there, that you're saved. Now go down to verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I'm not going to go through all of these verses, but I picked this one because a lot of times our mind will get us in trouble. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. This mind is carnal a lot of times. It's fleshly, sensual, and lustful. And you have to be careful of this mind. It's the devil's battlefield. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The mind... the devil he'll plant a seed in your mind and then he'll just keep working it and working it and there'll be strife. And James chapter 3 says, that's not from above. And if something just keeps eating on you and keeps eating on you, that's not the Lord, because His way of working is pure and peaceable, James chapter 3 tells us. So this old mind, if something is just continually coming at you, maybe you got your eye on a new car or something like that. Well, let's pull in here. Let's pull in there. Hey, we're not to covet, but we're to be content with those things we have. Amen. So realize He's working on your mind, and it is enmity, He says here. The carnal mind is enmity. That word means the enemy or opposition. And a lot of times Christians get in trouble. We all have sin. Amen. We've all come short of the glory of God. But because of this mind. And so I'd like for you to see a couple of verses. Hold your place here and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. These are great verses that will help you with your mind. Maybe you're struggling with your mind. And I'll invite your attention to verse 5 and 6. Chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What would be the knowledge of God? This blessed book right here, this Bible. If it comes against the Bible, it's not of the Lord. Amen. Especially when you're trying to find God's will. That it needs to be in accordance with the Bible. Knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Sounds like it's a deliberate action there. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And when we obey the Lord, then there will be peace. And having a readiness to revenge or to retaliate. Sometimes you just have to say, Satan, get thee hence. Plead the blood of Jesus, Brother Don. You know, Satan, get out of here. I'm not going to listen to that. Start singing Victory in Jesus or something and he'll leave you. He'll leave you alone. So it's true. But you have to have that readiness to revenge or retaliate all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What is imaginations? Their reasonings, thoughts, conceit, all these bad things that come to our heart and our mind, and we need to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? But these devilish thoughts, evil surmising. When's the last time you heard a message on one topic called evil surmising? But yet, we're tempted to do that, are we not? Evil surmise. Go over to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. Is that it? Let's see. Hang on. Yeah. Chapter 6, 1 Timothy, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. By the way, when somebody is godly, they're right. They're doing the right thing. They're living in righteousness. You know, you don't hear much preaching about holiness anymore. But the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. I'm talking about our individual hearts. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about myself. We need to live a holy life. We need to please God more than man. Amen. So, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. If you're not doing that, you're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and what, church? Evil surmisings. That's these, it's not of the Lord, that's for sure, but it's suspecting. It's the sin of suspecting. Well, maybe this is happening or that's happening. No, you're evil surmising. And God says, put that away. That's not right. In verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now these, Timothy and Titus, Thessalonians, these are pastoral epistles. So, I've got four fingers pointing back to me, and one pointing to you. But it's all for us. I mean, the whole Bible is good. Amen. But we need to watch for this evil surmising, and we need to sweep up around our own doorsteps. Now go back to Romans 8. Romans 8, and let's look at verse 13 through 15. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You have to deliberately put to death some things. This old flesh, it'll keep pulling at us, won't it? Until we get our glorified body. And you have to deliberately say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to eat three Big Macs. I'm just going to eat one. You know, or whatever it may be. We have to deliberately, I'm not going to stay up all hours of the night. I'm going to go to bed so I can work and do right. But if we're going to have victory, then we have to know that we're saved. That's where it starts. We have to guard this carnal mind, verse 7. And then in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall what? Live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, if we want victory, we have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. Amen. He wants to lead us if we'll let Him. The problem is He is speaking to us. The problem is most of the time we're not listening. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. And I told someone today, you're seeking God's will. The first thing you need to do is get rid of your own will. Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And then it needs to line up with the Scripture. If you're praying about a major decision, you have to pray aright. You look at the circumstances around. But a lot of times when we're seeking the will of the Lord, there's all these voices out there, and we need to hear that still, small voice. Amen? And there'll be peace, and it'll be peaceable and pure. So he says here, For as many as are led, verse 14, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A lot of people preach and the root word is daddy, daddy. I like to have more respect for our Heavenly Father. But the point is here tonight, we need to go to our Heavenly Father more. Whatever's on your heart, brothers and sisters, you can take it to your Heavenly Father. And you can pray through Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. Pray to your Heavenly Father. Brother Williams used to always preach that. Father, Father. And He's always there. I'm so thankful for that. My dad, right before he died, he was 92. He told me something. He looked at me and he was just straight on, you know. He said, Greg, if God wants to use you, let Him use you. Let Him use you. Don't put Him off. And I said, what are you saying, Dad? I'm not being used or what? But he always wanted me to be used of the Lord. And you know, God wants you to be used of the Lord. I'm kind of getting off topic here. But I'm talking about victory in Jesus. Go to God. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Okay, I'm getting off of that because I just have a couple more and we'll be done. But he talked about having no fear. You know, Timothy, he says, God, I think it's 2 Timothy 1:7, I believe it's that verse. For God hath not given us, Stormy, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if fear comes up, we need to choose faith. Choose faith over fear. Amen? that's not, you know, you children, you parents have small children. You don't want to put them in fear if you're good parents, if you're Christian parents. You don't want them to be afraid. Well, our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be afraid. He said, I don't know what's going to happen, but there is one that knows what's going to happen. Amen. And He's on the throne. Okay, go to 13 through 15. That's what we did already. Mortify and put to death deliberately. Be led. Don't fear. And go to your Father. 26 through 28, chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you been so torn up before? I'm sure you have. We have. We've all experienced this, if we've lived long enough, where you just can't speak. You know, there are no words. Amen? And the word groaning there means to utter a low, mournful sound. I've heard old preachers pray, Joy, that, oh God, you know, when we put that O in there and it's just from our heart. See, the Holy Spirit knows that and He'll help us to pray. And it's talking about the Spirit in verse 26 itself. Look at that. Maketh intercession. He's coming between two parties. He's coming between for reconciliation, for help. And I'm thankful tonight that the Holy Spirit, well, here, if you read this chapter and you look it up in the Bible, God the Father prays for His children. God the Son, remember Peter, when Jesus prayed for Peter and said, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but Peter, I've prayed for thee. And right here in Romans 8, you see where the Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't have victory without Him. Amen. God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows. God knows. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, we can know that all things work together for good. You say, well, cancer, I've got cancer. Well, cancer's not good. That's true, but God can work it together for good. He can give you cancer and He can take it away, Kim. And then we can praise God and we can see. And here it is. It's always for our good and His glory. Don't forget that. You might want to write that one down. It's for our good when we go through infirmities. And can I say this? If you're honest, you've got an infirmity. We all have infirmities or weaknesses. You may have a lot of strength, but you do have an infirmity of some kind. I don't need to know what it is, okay? I got my own. But we all have them. And you know who knows about them? God. He knows about them all. He can help us with our infirmities. Don't be boastful. You don't really know. You've heard people say, I'm going to live to 125. I'm going to live to 100. My whole goal is to live to 100. You may be the first to die. You may die tonight. But God knows. God knows. And He can work all things together for good. I was up here working. I've enjoyed it, getting back. But I said, Lord, why? Why did You bring me back? Why? And like the answer I got, maybe this is God's plan to keep things going at Western Hills without a beat. You know, just keep things going right on. Maybe that's it. But it's for our good and His glory. God only knows. What is God? You know, He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He can be anywhere He wants because He's Almighty God. He's sovereign. But He's omniscient. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And He's not taken by surprise. And so I'm thankful that God knows. He says here, let's read it out loud. Verse 28, ready? Here we go. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to the purpose. I studied, and one commentator said, "For to those who love God and to them who are the called, one and the same." There was a day when the gospel was preached, amen, and you heard the call to salvation, and you said, yes, Lord, I'm trusting in You. I need to be saved. And you love God, you can rest in this, that all things, what does all mean? A-double-L, it means all. I'll say it one more time, all things work together for good to them that love God. And look at verse 34. Also, because there's a resurrection. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus. I'm thankful that Jesus died. I'm thankful for His great love, but I think I'll just give the gospel right here, okay? He died. He shed His blood. He was pierced. His nails. He took our nails, amen? They whipped Him, beat Him. He went up that road bearing that cross. He fell beneath the load. And there on that cross, He had two transgressors, one on each side. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. One of them, one thief said, remember Me. He knew. This is the real Son of God. This is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He said, remember Me. And Jesus turned to him and said, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. They took Him down, put Him in a borrowed tomb. 72 hours later, He came out of the tomb, didn't He? He arose from the dead. He had some business to do. He went up to heaven, presented the blood. That's where the ark is. This story, I think there's some kind of story out there, the lost ark. It's not lost. It's in the museum of heaven. Just read Revelation 11. Jesus went up there and sprinkled that with the blood, led captivity captive out of there and opened up heaven. And so Jesus Christ arose from the dead triumphantly. And I'm thankful because of that resurrection, we can have victory. Now, that's what Martha said Sunday night, I guess after they voted me in. Cisco, we were over there. My wife and I were over there. And Cisco came to the door. I didn't know how it would go. And Cisco said, "Come on in, Pastor." And Martha said, "I think we need to sing victory in Jesus." Man, the hairs went up on my arm. I said, "Wow, how about that?" But here we are. And if you know Jesus, you have victory because of the resurrection. Now the last one, I'm almost done. Verse 37 through 39. "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." He loved us. Realizing the fact that He loves you and He loves me, He loves everybody. "Through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to" what? Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say, there's a lot been going on and happening to me, but I'm telling you, God still loves you. There's always somebody worse off, amen? Think of that woman, lost her husband today. Two little babies. He's in heaven, but daddy's not coming home. And so I'm thankful for the love of God, but God still loves and helps. What's the problem? Well, we live in a sinful world, don't we, church? We live in a sinful human race. Sin is the cause of all our suffering that exists. There is an enemy. There is a wicked one. And so I'm thankful we can have victory in Jesus. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We were talking about infirmities. We got to quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 18. "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," Paul said, "for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen is eternal." We sat under Pastor Bloom. I got to pray with him every Sunday morning. By the way, we do have prayer meeting at 8 o'clock right over here. But Pastor Bloom and I would pray. He'd been pastor there for like 35 years. And he had a lot wrong with him. He went blind. He was up in age, up in his late 70s. He told me he had 100 strokes. He had his heart was all messed up. He had aneurysms, and he just had a lot of trouble. But he'd get up in that pulpit, he'd preach, and he was there in his place. Church gave $400,000 to missions. They had 600 in their Christian school. The church ran, I don't know what they ran, Kathy, maybe 400 in attendance. Kathy and I sang in the choir, but we got to pray with him and talk to him. Kathy just loved him. And one of the last things he said when I told him we were moving, He said, let me tell you something, Brother Greg. He said, you have a good wife. He said, a lot of preachers don't have that. They don't have that. And I said, Pastor Bloom, I do know that. But he would say this, talking about all of his infirmities, okay? I said, I don't see how. I prayed for him, but I said, I don't see how you keep going. He said, Brother Greg, that's life. That's life. Never complained. Happy. Thankful. Well, something would happen. He'd fall. He'd fall down and hurt something. That's life. Get right back up. Keep on going. A lot of times, folks, we experience things. We're in this old world, this old evil, wicked world. And so keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever we go through, it's for your good and God's glory. And one day, here it is, one day it'll prove to be a blessing. So victory starts there. I'm just going to give you a few verses, and then we're going to have the invitation. Mrs. Janann, you can come on up to the piano. But look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 57 through 58. You know the verse. We're going to have an invitation. If you feel like the Lord might have you, come pray about some things. Brother Jackson said, you know, Pastor, we just need some healing. Our hearts need healing. And that's true. Amen? Amen. But the only one that can do it is the good Lord. Yeah. And so maybe you'll just come and pray for our church and healing. But 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And go to Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. It talks about the church a lot. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. I believe that's what I want. Is that it? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. He's still able to do great things. Amen. He's not lost any of his power. Now go to chapter 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. I love that. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is head, even Christ. And then one more verse, chapter 4, 29 through 32. I've preached a lot on this through the years. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Edifying. That's building up. That's what that means. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice. Put it away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I love that. We need to keep speaking the truth in love, telling people about Jesus. And I'll just build you up a little bit. Church, you came and you heard a lot of scriptures tonight. You heard the Bible. You heard the Word of God. But you can have victory through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. And the altars will be open.